בפה לנשיקות שלך, מפנה מקום מסביב לשתיקות שלך, מפנה מקום בלב ללחיצות שלך, מפנה מקום בבטן שאוכל לבלוע אותך, אני מפנה מקום בתיבה למכתבים שלך.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now from Israel is Avraham Berg, who's the son of a Holocaust survivor and has been active in politics as a leader in the Israeli Labor Party and the One Israel Party. He was Speaker of the Knesset from 1999 to 2003, and he's the author of The Holocaust is Over, We Must Rise from Its Ashes, and chairman of Malad, the Center for Renewal of Democracy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Avraham Berg.
Hello there.
So it seems that this surprise of Yair Lapid's party, a new party, Yesh Atid, that sort of came out of nowhere and won 19 seats. First of all, it looks like Yair Lapid has ruled out forming an anti-Netanyahu bloc in spite of what the Labour Party leader said in terms of forming a centre-left bloc. So is that where we stand now?
Well, it looks that from afar, you know much better about Israeli politics than many of those just elected. Yeah, it looks like that. You have to understand, our audience has to understand, that we do not have a bipartisan system. We have much more of a European system, which is a coalition formation. And this is various factions and various parties eventually aligned together to create a majority within the parliament. So between Netanyahu's natural bloc, which is 50% of the parliament of the Knesset, and the other bloc, which is 50%, there is a tie. The minute Yair Lapid, which is the new surprising phenomenon of this election, says, I'm not in the non-Netanyahu bloc, so there is no opposition. And Netanyahu has the majority to build the next government.
And mathematically, it wouldn't be possible to build a center-left coalition, would it, without the Arab Israeli parties? And they normally are not approached or don't want to be approached, right?
You touch here two different issues. First, there is no impossibility in politics in general and the Israeli politics in particular. Okay, we are magicians when it comes to impossible formations, constructions, combinations, and different other exercises, okay? So it is possible. The issue of the Israeli Palestinians or the Israeli Arabs is a very sensitive one, because unfortunately there are very few parties and very few elected individuals who really understand the democracy as a form, as a system which includes all of its citizens, the 20% of the non-Jews minority as well. And therefore a statement like the one you just said, that yes, we want to have a coalition, but no, we do not want to have the Arab parties within, is one of the faults and one of the shortcomings of the Israeli democracy. I would say that the Israeli-Palestinian position or Israeli-Palestinian integration within the Knesset is the litmus paper of our democracy. So far, we fail.
So, Avraham Berg, the Yesh Atid, there is a future party. Given its hostility towards the ultra-Orthodox and the leader's clear case that he does not want to subsidize them anymore, and he doesn't want the religious students to avoid military service, that would indicate, if he stands by his principle, which I assume he will, that Netanyahu couldn't have a bloc with him and the ultra-Orthodox parties at the same time. They're mutually exclusive, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And actually what you see as a result of this election, the results of this election, are not necessarily yet a clear new policy as much as the culture, the atmosphere of hate and incitement and even xenophobia and kind of very negative rhetorics coming from various factions of the previous Netanyahu coalition. Will it be the ultra-orthodoxy versus other pluralistic expression of Judaism? Will it be the Minister of Interior, which is coming from another ultra-orthodox party, who actually came down in such an ugly way against the the refugees coming from Eritrea and South Sudan, etc., or any and or the right-wing extreme elements trying to excommunicate civil society, lefty, more leftish expressions, it looks like this is over. It looks like the public voted against it yesterday and looking for different, much more, I would say, cultured, containing, more considerable and plural and tolerant political discourse. I hope that the politicians elected got a message.
Again, I'm speaking with Avraham Berg, the son of Holocaust survivors, and he has been active in politics as a leader in the Israeli Labor Party and the One Israel Party. He was Speaker of the Knesset from 1999 to 2003, and he's the author of The Holocaust is Over, We Must Rise from Its Ashes, and the chairman of Malad, the Center for Renewal of Democracy. So the right-wing party that was even further to the right than Likud, with its charismatic leader, there was a sense that that was going, the party called Jewish Home, that he was going to win up to 19 seats. They won 11 seats, I imagine. And he, of course, is adamantly pro-settler and anti-peace with the Palestinians. I imagine the Israeli left and a lot of liberal Israelis are breathing a sigh of relief, aren't they?
Well, there is no doubt that there is an improvement in the sense that this government looks like, or this future government looks like, a bit better than the previous one. But when it comes to the peace process, I hope that people at two positions, the individual who will occupy the foreign ministry and the individual who will be the Minister of Defense, will be people who understand that foreign relations and Israel's integration in the region cannot be expressed through muscles, power, and brute exercise of muscles only, but through something else, through conciliation, through conversation, through dialogue. And I do hope that this kind of a new atmosphere, plus a hope, a new administration, a new administration's commitment at the White House, will help us to move forward, unlike the last couple of years that were very futile, very frustrating, and in a way very dangerous.
So, Avraham Berg, what explains this surprise then of Yesh Atid, that there is a future, coming out of nowhere? This former TV presenter, whose father was also a politician and a TV personality, and clearly something happened there, because the polls were indicating, as I said earlier, they were indicating that the right-wing coalition and the anti-settler party of Jewish Home were going to do very well. So something happened there. A different group of people came out to vote, surely.
First, it's not all of a sudden. You know, in the last 2 years, there is a kind of earthquake, and the earth is not tranquil. In the last 2 years, it was the summer protest of the middle class out of the streets of summers ago, and there was a few other expressions of the public, I would say, resentment of the current indifference and the current attitude of the government, and therefore it was only a question of time of where the public protest and the public unrest will express itself, not whether will it do it. So the individual who actually was in the middle and became the container of the left-wing frustration, the center-wing frustration, and the right-wing frustration was exactly this Yair Lapid. Now, in the polls, like in America, like in so many other places, there were two shortcomings. The first one was the swing votes were deciphered in such a way that nobody told them that they should behave according to the uncoding of the pollsters. And the undecided at the last couple of minutes or last couple of hours simply jumped down of the jumped off the fence they were sitting on and walked into what looks to them as a good containing alternative. The second is that a lot of the polling here was done in the traditional landline polling, while Lapid's campaign and a few other campaigns were online campaigns, Facebook campaigns, cellular phones campaigns that were actually transparent or below the radar screen of the pollsters. I take it that next time these mistakes will not happen.
So I suppose, though, is it true, Avraham Berg, that Netanyahu in many ways, he doesn't seem to be a likable person. I know the President of the United States doesn't like him. And that
I do not like him as well.
So is that a factor that he is really sort of wearing out his welcome with the Israeli public?
Listen, there is a limitation time or expiration date. How long can a young magician be either young or a magician?
Uh-huh.
Now, an individual who was a brilliant, shining, promising alternative '96 is all of a sudden, might all of a sudden become a pathetic, passive, obsolete leader some 20 years later. And Netanyahu simply exhausted his terms but not doing a thing. It is not that his terms were can be marked or excelled or remembered with beautiful, amazing, promising breakthroughs.
Well, that leads us to the question of what's going to happen with the relationship with Obama. You know, Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic said that Obama basically says that under Netanyahu, Israel is not acting in its own interests and the relationship is dysfunctional. And on top of that, a number of senior Israeli intelligence officials and former military officials have gone public recently in the last weeks of this election in Israel, condemning Netanyahu essentially as a warmonger and as being a reckless leader. So it's pretty amazing the forces arrayed against him. I'm surprised that he got reelected, frankly, because I thought the Israeli people really valued the U.S.-Israeli relationship more than they valued their leaders.
Well, it's a longer discussion that this post-election discussion, but Netanyahu was the, up until yesterday, was the best default around. It looks like from yesterday on, the new alternatives are starting their way towards his bureau. And if he will not move fast, decisively, with a lot of vision, he simply will disappear.
So just in closing then, Avraham Berg, what's your sense of how long before we'll have a sense of what kind of government?
According to Israeli law, it might take a couple of weeks, but my feeling is it will be faster because you have two main blocks, which is 50 seats out of 120 are already sitting together, which is the 31 of Netanyahu and 19 of Yair Lapid, and they have a lot of motivation to serve together. So the principles will be around very soon. I say in a matter of no more than three and a half weeks, we shall have a new government.
But do you think that in this new government, the ultra-Orthodox are going to be marginalized?
Well, if they will have a role, and there is a fair chance they will have a role, it will be secondary or less important to the compared to the role up until now in the previous cabinets.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Avraham Berg, who is in Israel. He's the son of Holocaust survivors and has been active in politics as a leader of the Israeli Labor Party and the One Israel Party. He was Speaker of the Knesset from 1999 to 2003 and is the author of The Holocaust is Over, We Must Rise from Its Ashes, and the chairman of Malad, the Center for Renewal of Democracy. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about how union membership in this country has dropped to an all-time low, according to new data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.